Is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Joanna LaForgia from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting content from the March 2025 copy of Southern Living magazine. This week, we're going to continue our article on the feature article on the South, Adventures in Travel and Culture. And then maybe we'll get to a few other features that are in every issue. All right, so let's get started. The cover of this magazine is, it's a green palette. It's a spring green palette. I said in our last episode, and I still maintain this, the color looks to me the way avocado tastes to me. It's similar to the inside of an avocado, but softer. It's a very soft green, spring green. We're looking into the inside of a living room, and that's the color that it's painted. And the living room has a high-pitched ceiling as a roof would, and from the point of the ceiling are alternating forest green and very pale green stripes, very wide stripes on that ceiling. And from the center, from the 8th point of the ceiling, is a wire chandelier, very sparse, and it has a few, 4 or 5 candles in it, and a little, I think, a metal leaf pattern there, too. Yes, a little metal leaf pattern to echo the leaves that are outside at the windows. This room that we're looking into, this living room, has wall-to-wall windows, and they, the view outside the windows are of evergreen, some kind of trees that are very fully leafed in and close to the windows. And there is one tree trunk in one window. The window shades are half drawn, and they're those cloth window shades that you can pull down and up. And they are a very light, it's blurred from here, but they are green and white checked. And then there's a sofa. It's a slate blue cushion sofa with a wooden base. It's got 2 green cushions and 2 green and off-white striped cushions with leaves, little leaf motifs there too. That echoes throughout this room. And on either side of the sofa, are end tables. One is a ceramic table that is slate blue to match the sofa. And it has a, it's slate blue and pale pink and off-white stripes. And on top is a plant in a spode that is dark blue and white patterned flower, ceramic flower pot. It's got a tall palm in it, and it's got some smaller green-leaved plant around the base, short ones. And then on the other end table, which we cannot see the table itself, just the table surface. And upon that is a wicker-based lamp with a lampshade that is also that same color as all the painted walls and ceiling green, alternating with off-white horizontal stripes across this vertically pleated lampshade. And then there is a coffee-colored bowl of some sort. A small bowl or ashtray on there, and something that appears to be a blue phone. There is a sofa table before the sofa, and it has a wicker base, a green cushion on top, and a round green platter. And upon that platter is a plant with a blue ceramic. I think it's that same spode pattern, blue, dark blue and white ceramic flower pot, and these caladium, sort of elephant ears. They're not this, quite that large, but they are also off-white with dark green veins. And there is a book lying open. Half of it is on the tray and half of it is on the cushion, the table itself. The spine is along the edge of the tray. And finally, there are two wicker, white wicker chairs with green, they are green cushioned chairs, and they have just a few vertical slate blue stripes, just about three, widely spaced upon them. And an off-white cushion is on each of those chairs. And on the one that's closest to the front, closest to us on the cover, is a slate blue towel draped across. Oh, maybe that's, I called it a towel, but you know, it could be a blanket, of course, one of those throw blankets. That makes more sense, doesn't it, listeners? And finally, in the foreground, on either side of the cover, from top to bottom, are curtains that are pulled back, tied back. And those curtains are a forest green and, or no, no, it's the green that matches the painting, that spring green and off-white checked. The print from top to bottom, March 2025, Southern Living, a colorful home. New ways to decorate with greens and blues. St. Simon's Island, Georgia, which is where this room is, apparently. And across the bottom, why we love the hostess city. Grumpy's guide to pass along plants. And the thrill of swimming with manatees. Maybe we'll get to that next. Yes. If we have time after this, we began last week our article on the South, Adventures in Travel and Culture, and we're starting in OKC, which you probably know stands for Oklahoma City. On the first page of this article is a photograph, takes up almost the first top half of the page, and it is of a park. It's named here. We'll get the name of it in just a moment when we start to read the article. A major park in Oklahoma City, and there are people walking dogs, riding a scooter, riding a bicycle. The Oklahoma City skyline is in the background. And also in the background is a Ferris wheel in that park. And in the foreground, in a circle, it's encircled by a paved walkway or bikeway, and there are some tables and chairs, and there are very oversized letters that say OKC in white, and the sky is a cloudless blue. And listeners, we're going to reread the first paragraph that we started last week just to get us situated, okay? It's the middle of the week, excuse me, in the heart of Oklahoma City, OKC. But you'd never guess it based on the crowds and the live music streaming in and out of restaurants and bars in the hip West Village district. I'm attempting to take a post-dinner stroll down West Sheridan Avenue, but find myself stopping to window shop every few steps, my list of places to visit during daylight hours growing by the minute. A little farther down the road, families, couples, and groups of friends relax on the grass at Myriad Botanical Gardens. The movie Barbie plays on a giant projector screen while Dua Lipa's dance-inducing theme song pumps through loudspeakers. The late spring weather makes the air feel ripe with possibility. But there was a time when the future of OKC didn't seem as sunny as it does today. 30 years ago, the Oklahoma City bombing thrust the Sooner State capital into the national spotlight. At the time, downtown OKC was little more than a small outcropping of skyscrapers surrounded by fields of empty parking lots. After the tragedy, the city was forever changed. A major landmark was razed in the blink of an eye. But the impact from the lives and innocence lost has resounding repercussions. The future seemed to hang in the balance after this one pivotal event. With all eyes on OKC, the community banded together to become a place bent on determining its own destiny. Today, it's a thriving destination known for vibrant art, culture, entertainment, and dining. Its nickname, the Modern Frontier, pays homage to both its history as a land-run locale and its limitless future. It has grown considerably, too, and is now the country's 20th most populous city. This sprawling metropolis covers 620 square miles, which is nearly 10 times the size of Washington, D.C., and is divided into 20 districts, each with a personality of its own. The best way to experience all that Oklahoma City has to offer is to explore it by neighborhood. While walking might be a bit of a stretch, ample parking and minimal traffic make traipsing through town a breeze. And, listeners, we have a small photo here of a chef presenting something he is. It says, Faces and Places, from top a historic Ferris wheel bought from the Santa Monica Pier in California, is the calling card for the up-and-coming Wheeler District. Chef Andrew Black's restaurant, Pearl Mesta, and I'm going to spell that, it's P-E-R-L-E, Mesta, M-E-S-T-A, is his fourth in the city. And Andrew Black is a black man wearing black glasses, and he's bearded and smiling in his restaurant. And I wish I could tell you what's in this basket. Oh, yes, shrimp. Looks like a big shrimp, I think. Yeah, and lemon. No, lobster it might be. All right, I'm going to stop guessing. He's happy and it's delicious, I'm sure. And then there is a glass of rosé wine. I can see that right beside it. All right, and on our next page, we've got a couple of photographs to describe. One is almost a quarter of the page. It's a boat called... I can't quite read the title, but it's an open-air, one of those open-air boats. It's a water taxi. And it is in a pool of water. It seems to be stopping at a hotel, but we'll learn more about that when we start to read this essay. And there's some gardens, some plantings all around the hotel, and some white steps going down to where this boat just might dock. And then there's another photograph of a drink that is white with a golden toothpick and some kind of fruit in it. We'll hear about that soon. Seems to have a lemon or something yellow on top. And on the bottom, there is a photograph of a man. It's kind of blurred, and he's wearing a blue shirt. He is a white man with a black hat and also bearded and mustached and wearing glasses as well. And he has a denim shirt on, and he's in some kind of a machine shop. Let's read about that before I try to guess it, what it is. The caption of these photos is Wild, Wild West. From top, the Bricktown Water Taxi embarks on tours through the district's man-made canal. The Bradford House Bar is known for its menu of riffs on classic drinks. Milliners at Shorty's Cowboy Hattery have been restoring, creating, and shaping cowboy hats since 1990. Yes, and I neglected to say that this man in the photo is wearing, of course, a black cowboy hat. Wait, back to our essay. Bricktown. These are the neighborhoods in Oklahoma City. For history and nightlife. Start your tour at Bricktown, a historic warehouse district that was founded just after the 1889 land run, when 50,000 people flooded the unassigned lands, initial caps, of what would become the Oklahoma Territory to stake their claim on 2 million acres. Now an entertainment hub, Bricktown is anchored by the Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark, home to the AAA Oklahoma City Baseball Club, and a mile-long canal that's lined with ice cream shops, sports bars, and novelty stores. Most nights, the area buzzes with activity. The doors to businesses are left open, inviting hungry diners in and letting a cacophony of country music, dueling piano classics, and top 40 hits spill out. If it's your first visit, board the famous water taxi. A guide will provide a brief history of the area while pointing out landmarks and murals on the 40-minute cruise. Along the way, you'll see the Centennial Land Run Monument. It's 45 larger-than-life figures, cowboys on horseback, women riding side saddle, and lots of covered wagons, make up one of the world's largest bronze sculpture installations. In recent years, there's been a push to recontextualize the display to include the Native American perspective and note that the unassigned, quote-unquote, lands had previously belonged to tribal nations. It's important history you can learn more about at the First Americans Museum, which opened in 2021 and tells the story of the state's 39 distinct tribal nations. For cowboy culture, Stockyard City, the site of OKC's first major industrial development, is home to the world's largest stocker and feeder cattle market. And it's also the spot where you can find Western clothing, custom saddles, and rustic furnishings. Stores such as Western Wear Outlet and Little Joe's Boots have all the spurs and bolo ties you could need. But if you want a cowboy hat, there's only one place to go. "I've always loved hats since I was a child," explains Lavona Shorty Coger, who's owned Shorty's Cowboy. It's spelled C-A-B-O-Y. So maybe it's cowboy, yeah, hattery, for 35 years, and says that when she started her business in 1990, it was the only woman-owned and woman-operated custom hattery in the country. Coger notes that the industry is blown up with the popularity of Yellowstone. That's in italics, so it's the TV series, listeners. Excuse me. It's blown up with the popularity of Yellowstone, but few places do things from start to finish the way she does. They might sell and decorate hats, she says, but they don't build them. Another legendary spot in Stockyard City is Cattleman's Steakhouse. Stop in here for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and don't even think about leaving without trying a steak. All cuts are broiled over a charcoal fire. And on this page, listeners, we've got a photo that's almost half the page of the inside of a greenhouse, a huge greenhouse, domed. The roof is domed, and the greenhouse has kind of a wonderland-looking place in it. Stairs. It's got a few different levels and several palms and evergreens, mostly palms, it looks like, and some evergreens and vines and other trees. And then there's a small photo of some food on the table. It looks like breakfast French toast with a big ball of either butter or cream. Maybe it might even be ice cream or creme fraiche, probably. I bet that's what it is. And there's some fruit, strawberries, and some raisins and some lemon slices on it. And there's some coffee in the background and some other foods. Can't see too well, but there in the background is a salad of some sort. The caption of these photos is, "A Taste of the Tropics." French toast is a bestseller at Café Caco, and that is K-A-C-A-O. The Crystal Bridge Conservatory houses warm weather plants. So that's that greenhouse we described, the Crystal Bridge Conservatory. From proceeding with our essay, for major attractions, downtown, the main draws in the city center are true treasures, not just perfunctory boxes to check. The Oklahoma City National Memorial and Museum tells the story of the Oklahoma City bombing in the spot where it happened, featuring videos, first-hand accounts, audio recordings, artifacts, and photographs. The accompanying memorial, which includes an elm that withstood the blast, dubbed the Survivor Tree, an orchard honoring first responders, and a field of 168 empty chairs to represent those who died, is a quiet space to reflect. It's the kind of place that leaves an impression and makes you feel better for visiting. A few blocks away is Myriad Botanical Gardens, a 15-acre green space in the center of town. The grounds, including a carousel, plazas, terraced gardens, a bandstand, sculptures, a children's play area, and fountains, are surrounded by stunning blooms, native plants, and intricate landscaping. The crown jewel here is the Crystal Bridge Conservatory, which is well worth its $10.50 admission fee. Inside, you'll find a lush oasis overflowing with exotic plants ranging from desert succulents to delicate orchids, giant ferns to tropical fruit trees. A third-floor skywalk allows for bird's-eye views, while a two-story waterfall provides a relaxing ambient soundtrack. Scissortail Park, located just outside Paycom Center, which is home of the Oklahoma City Thunder basketball team, and the Oklahoma City Convention Center, spans 70 acres and is the unofficial living room of the city. There are sports courts and fields, a lake with paddleboard rentals, a playground, a burger restaurant, a stage, and a great lawn. Gardens and walkways dot the area that hosts seasonal farmers markets and summer concerts. One of downtown's newest gems is actually a reimagining of an old one. In 2022, the historic First National Bank building, now known as First National Center, became an opulent 146-room hotel, complete with a shopping center and five food and beverage concepts, including a bank vault bar and a restaurant with seating around original teller booths. For creativity, the Paseo Arts District. The arts are alive and well in Oklahoma City, and nowhere is that more apparent than in the Paseo, a community listed on the National Register of Historic Places and known for its beautiful Spanish Revival architecture. Over 20 galleries representing more than 80 artists can be found inside the pastel stucco buildings with clay tile roofs. Clothing boutiques, cafes, shops, and restaurants, plus a funky cocktail bar called Flamingo Tiki, and vegan donut shop called Holy Rollers, and that's H-O-L-E-Y, Rollers, fill in the rest of this colorful neighborhood. For over three decades, ceramist Colin Rosebrook has sold functional and sculptural pieces from Paseo Pottery, his Pepto-Bismol Pink Gallery. Just down the road at Paseo Gallery 1, every corner you turn reveals a new style from its 10 resident artists and a rotating group of guest creators. And there are two photos at the bottom of this page, listeners. And one, it is of a green parking lot in front of a building, but the parking lot has roofs. It has a green palette. It's reflecting green grass. It appears to be grass. Maybe it's not a parking lot. It's grass with trees before a building. And then there is a photograph of a man who is eating an Asian dish. He's an Asian man with glasses, and he is smiling, and he's wearing an apron. And the caption of these photographs is, add to your list. From left, chairs at the Oklahoma City National Memorial bear the names of those who lost their lives. Okay, so that's what I'm not seeing here, listeners. The chairs are not out on what I thought was a car park, but that it's grass and it's rose in front of a large building. And there's some big green trees, I think elm trees there. And on the other photo is OKC-born chef Jeff Chantaloon. He's French, the French name, I guess. And he makes, Laotian food at Ma Der Lao Kitchen. He's Laotian, forgive me. And that is Ma Der Lao, that's spelled M-A, and then the new word, D-E-R, and then L-A-O is another word, kitchen. Looks good. For stellar shopping and fantastical fun, Automobile Alley. Sometimes art is hung on a wall, but other times it's lived, breathed, touched, and listened to. At least that's the case at Factory Obscura, a zany, immersive experience that's fun for all ages. Guests are invited to wander through a maze of rooms, each with a themed installation. There's a light-up tunnel of love that's covered floor to ceiling in stuffed animals, a 1990s-era teen girl's bedroom where you can perform karaoke to tunes by the Pixies and Dolly Parton, and a playground of rainbow-colored crocheted barnacles that look like they're straight from a Dr. Seuss book. Find more conversation starting work at the Oklahoma Contemporary Art Center. Find more conversation starting work at the Oklahoma Contemporary Art Center, where rotating exhibits and the Campbell Art Park, with its large-scale public installations, are free to visit. Automobile Alley got its start in the 1920s as a commercial district filled with car dealerships and repair shops. Today, those long-abandoned buildings host an enticing mix of local restaurants, stores, and service-based businesses. If you're in the mood to do some browsing and buying, boutiques and gift shops are this area's new bread and butter. Plenty Mercantile, Shop Good, Commandeer, that's D-E-A-R, and Oklahoma Shirt Company sell items for the home, screen printed t-shirts, and lots of trendy Oklahoma branded items to commemorate your trip. Much like the city itself, Automobile Alley is keen on honoring its past while embracing the future. And as you can hear, we've run out of time for today's episode of Southern Living. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope you'll listen next time. I'm Joanna LaForgia, and I'm reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. And this broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. Once more, 919-832-5138. So long till next time.